It's a great day, isn't it? It's January 7th, 2024. It is great to see you again. This day, we have our study. It's 2011 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again today. And we have the Crucible article, C cubed or C3, The Crucible of Credible Creed, Chapter 4, Paragraph 3. And I noticed, interestingly, that there's no Paragraph 4.4 in this article, which is curious. But I suppose the first thing is to doubt. But the second thought I had was Jehovah has allowed us to add a paragraph here, if and when that seems appropriate. I think that's a wonderful opportunity that we have. But for today, it's the paragraph preceding the missing paragraph. It's paragraph 3 of chapter 4. As we may see from the map of Midian and Egypt, right here, the Nile Delta region is the largest of the fertile lands in Egypt, or green patches in the photo. The largest green patch in Egypt, which is this region to the east of the Red Sea, which is the blue bunny ears here. Egypt being west of that or to the left. The only green areas are this area here near Joseph's Canal, and that's also near to the Great Pyramid, I believe. This is the same region, but also the Nile Delta is the biggest, by far, of the green areas, and along the Nile, it's green also, near to the river, but only near the water, and in particular, the Nile Delta is their fertile land, and it's very big in the Delta, the region of fertility. And the rest of Egypt is just desert, as we can see in the photo here. Wonderful satellite photo. The map that I labeled with the names that I put on there personally, showing Cairo and Heliopolis having been found within the city of Cairo. And Thebes, or Luxor, to the south, which is actually not even shown on this map. It was in the Delta where Israel had lived in Egypt during the lives of Joseph and his father, and it was their departure point, as for Israel's leaving Thutmose I, whom we have identified as the Pharaoh of the Exodus, and we'll see more evidence of that later in the articles as we study, when 600,000 strong, they departed Egypt during the time of the Exodus. That's from the Bible, 600,000 men of war of the age of 20 years and up. It was 1,493 years before Jesus. That's before the Common Era. Jesus, having been born in BCE 6, would make it 1,487 years before Jesus. And with his crucifixion 34 years after his birth, that would make it 487 plus 34, and I haven't done this calculation before, would be 1487, 87 being 13 shy of 1500, would be 1500 plus 34 minus 13, which is 21, so 1521 years. If I did that correctly, before the crucifixion, that the Exodus took place, at which early date when the Exodus occurred, and also, by the way, in the Jewish calendar system, the remarkable thing is, in their dating system, the year of the Exodus, in our chronology, given in their dating system, is 2268 Anno Mundi of the Jewish. Well, it's not, I guess it's called Anno Mundi in their system, but it's just called whatever they call it in their system, in the Jewish system, 2268 is the year, which is remarkably incredible, because it's just phenomenal, because that makes everything easier to remember. It's just and it's so perfectly well organized by Jehovah, because we have exactly 2268 years from Adam, from his first breath, until the founding, until the deluge in 3282, and then another precisely 2268 years from the deluge in 3282 BCE until the temple founding in 1014 by Solomon, exactly 2268 years in both of those cases. And then we have the year in the Jewish system of the Exodus is 2268. So that's incredible the way Jehovah arranged that, because I couldn't have planned that. And I didn't plan it. I didn't do anything to attempt to make it come out that way. But that's the way it worked out. After all my research, it just happened to be that way. At which early date? I mean, after I got the date for Adam at 5550, which is 7 1/2 times 777 years before the Common Era. So that's another remarkable mathematical relation. And 2268 is 63 times 36, or 6.3 times 360. And when we took 6.3, which is almost exactly 2 pi, divide that by 2 pi, and then, because, or did we take it the other way around? Yeah, we took it the other way around. 2 pi over 6 point? No. No, it was 6.3 divided by 2 pi, because 2 pi is slightly less than 6.3, because pi is 3.14159265358979323236, etc. 4 3 3 8 3 2 7 9 5 0 2 8 8 4 1 9 7 1 6 9 3 9 9 3 7 5 1 0. That's pi to 50 decimal places. But when you take 6.3 over 2 pi to the power, all of that ratio to the power of 360, you get a number very close to phi. What's the name of the golden ratio, it's called sometimes, phi. Anyway, we talked about that already in a previous article that we read. But we first want to consider the events in the life of Thutmose. He died in 1493 in our chronology. In the sand of Egypt there lie buried without doubt many treasures from ancient times, and some of these may yet be discovered in such a way as to tell us more about this man who became Pharaoh Thutmose of Egypt, if God is willing. The Bible provides us a part of the story of this Pharaoh, and so we turn now, tomorrow, to the book of Exodus in our own story. We're going to try to learn more, because the Bible doesn't name him as Thutmose the First. We have to, and we did do, I did a lot of research, we did do a lot of study to try and find out who was he, and is it believable that Thutmose is the Pharaoh of the Exodus? It takes a lot of effort to try and find out. But that's all for our study of Crucible today, and of the chronology, of the genealogy. Proverbs 12 and 10 are proverb for today, little children. The righteous one is caring for the soul of his domestic animal, but the mercies of the wicked ones are cruel. So we have these remarkable mathematical relationships in the genealogy. They're just incredible. And they weren't discovered except by accident after having established the chronology that I saw that, well, I mean, it was not me discovering it. I felt like it was almost unwelcome that these things would happen, that 2268 would be the Jewish year of the Exodus in our chronology. They don't date it that way, but we date it in the Jewish dating system as 2268. But that corresponded to the 2268 years that Adam preceded the deluge, and that the deluge preceded Solomon's temple. It's just unbelievable, almost. And then you have to go after Solomon's temple. If you go 2268 after that, you get to a time at the birth of, I forget the name of the gentleman, he was a progenitor of the Habsburg dynasty, and his birth. So I think it's 1255 CE, and I'm trying to remember his name, actually corresponds incredibly well. I mean, I didn't research this prior. I'm just going by my memory. But we have lots of time today because we've got very short readings. So we're going to read, first of all, I didn't prepare this. I looked at a lot of Proverbs before I chose this one today. But this was one of the first ones I chose, but not the first. And then I realized it was the second one I think I looked at. Out of all the ones I looked at. But because I looked at all these others, I have to scroll down to look at what our reading is for today. There it is. I think that's it. 1 Kings 13, right. And here, this is our longest reading for today. And here there was a man of God that had come out of Judah by the word of Jehovah to Bethel. While Jeroboam, and we know Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, was the rebel who took 11 tribes, or 10 of them, away from the leadership of Rehoboam, who was the king over Judah, at Jerusalem. And Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make sacrificial smoke. Then he called out against the altar by the word of Jehovah and said, O altar, altar, this is what Jehovah has said. Look, a son born to the house of David, whose name is Josiah. Now, this is the prophet who called out. It wasn't Jeroboam that called out. And look, a son born to the house of David, whose name is Josiah, he will certainly sacrifice upon you the priests of the high places that are making sacrificial smoke upon you, and men's bones he will burn upon you. He's saying that to the altar. And he gave a portent on that day, saying, This is the portent of which Jehovah has spoken. Look, the altar is ripped apart, and the fatty ashes that are upon it will certainly be spilled out. That was the portent that he gave. And it came about that as soon as the king heard the word of the man of the true God, the king being the rebel king, Jeroboam, that the man of the true God had called out against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam at once thrust out his hand from off the altar. He was the king, saying, You men, grab hold of him. Immediately his hand that he had thrust out against him became dried up, and he was not able to draw it back to himself. And the altar itself was ripped apart, so that the fatty ashes were spilled out from the altar according to the portent that the man of the true God had given by the word of Jehovah. The king now answered and said to the man of the true God, Soften, please, the face of Jehovah your God, and pray in my behalf that my hand may be restored to me. So did the portent come true? Were the fatty ashes spilled out from the altar? At this, the man of the true God softened the face of Jehovah so that the king's hand was restored to him, and it came to be as at first. And the king went on to say to the man of the true God, Do come with me to the house and take sustenance and let me give you a gift. But the man of the true God said to the king, If you gave me half of your house, I would not come with you and eat bread or drink water in this place. For that is the way he commanded me by the word of Jehovah, saying, You must not eat bread or drink water. And we didn't see when this command was given. And you must not return by the way that you went. You must not eat bread or drink water, and you must not return by the way that you went. That was the instruction given to the prophet, although according to him, but we didn't see it. or hear about it until now. And he began to go by another way, this prophet, and he did not return by the way by which he had come to Bethel. And a certain old prophet was dwelling in Bethel, and his sons now came in and related to him all the work that the man of the true God had done that day in Bethel, and the words that he had spoken to the king. And they went on relating them to their father. Then their father spoke to them, "Which way then did he go?" So his son showed him the way that the man of the true God had come out of, who had come out of Judah, had gone. He now said to his sons, "Saddle the ass for me." Accordingly, they saddled the ass for him, and he went riding on it. And he went following the man of the true God and got to find him sitting under the big tree. Then he said to him, "Are you the man of the true God who has come out of Judah?" To which he said, "I am." And he went on to say to him, "Go with me to the house and eat bread." But he said, "I am not able to go back with you or to come in with you, and I may not eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For it has been spoken to me by the word of Jehovah, you must not eat bread or drink water there. You must not go back again by the way by which you went." At this he said to him, "I too am a prophet like you." And an angel himself spoke to me by the word of Jehovah, saying, "Have him come back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water." He deceived him. So he went back with him that he might eat bread in his house and drink water. And it came about while they were sitting at the table that the word of Jehovah came to the prophet that had brought him back. And he began to call out to the man of the true God that had come out of Judah, saying, "This is what Jehovah has said. For the reason that you rebelled against the order of Jehovah and did not keep the commandment with which Jehovah your God commanded you, but you went back that you might eat bread and drink water in the place about which he spoke to you, do not eat bread or drink water. Your dead body will not come into the burial place of your forefathers." And it came about after his eating bread and after his drinking that he at once saddled for him the ass, that is, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And he got on his way. Later, this is the man of the true God, a lion found him on the road and put him to death, and his dead body came to be thrown onto the road. And the ass was standing beside it, and the lion was standing beside the dead body. And here there were men passing by, so that they got to see the dead body thrown onto the road and the lion standing beside the dead body. Then they came in and spoke of it in the city in which the old prophet was dwelling. When the prophet that had brought him back from the way heard of it, he immediately said, "It is the man of the true God that rebelled against the order of Jehovah. And so Jehovah gave him to the lion that he might crush him and put him to death, according to the word of Jehovah that he spoke to him." And he went on to speak to his sons, saying, "Saddle the ass for me." So the lion had killed the man of the true God because Jehovah had told him not to go back and eat with anyone in the city before returning home. And he had not obeyed that. So they saddled the ass for the old prophet. Then he got on his way and found the dead body of the man of the true God thrown onto the road with the ass and the lion standing beside the dead body. The lion had not eaten the dead body, nor had it crushed the ass. And the prophet proceeded to lift up the dead body of the man of the true God, and to deposit him upon the ass and to bring him back. Thus he came into the city of the old prophet to bewail and bury him. Accordingly, he deposited his dead body in his own burial place, and they kept wailing over him, "Too bad, my brother." And it came about after his burying him that he went on to say to his sons, "When I die, you must bury me in the burial place in which the man of the true God is buried. Beside his bones deposit my own bones. For without fail the word that he called out by the word of Jehovah against the altar that is in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places that are in the cities of Samaria will take place. He had said that Josiah would come and burn men's bones upon the altar. After this, Jeroboam did not turn back from his bad way. And of course, Josiah hadn't even come close to being born yet. He was born like, 300 years later or something like that. After this thing, Jeroboam did not turn back from his bad way, but he again went making priests of high places from the people in general. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had rebelled against Rehoboam, who was the king of Judah. As for anyone delighting in it, Jeroboam would fill his hand with power, saying, and let him become one of the priests of high places. And in this thing, there came to be a cause of sin on the part of the household of Jeroboam, and an occasion for effacing them and annihilating them off the surface of the ground. So Jeroboam was really, really disapproved in the eyes of Jehovah for all of his rebellion that he had practiced against Jehovah, even though Jehovah prophesied that it would happen, that the kingdom would be split. And of course it was. And now we have Ezekiel chapter 15. And the word of Jehovah continued to occur to me, saying, Son of man, in what way does the vine tree happen to be different from every other tree? The shoot that has come to be among the trees of the forest? Is there taken from it a pole with which to do some work? Or do people take from it a peg on which to hang any kind of utensil? Look, into the fire is where it must be put for fuel. Both ends of it the fire certainly devours, and the very middle of it does get scorched. Is it fit for any work? Look, when it happens to be intact, it is not used for any work. How much less so when fire itself has devoured it and it gets scorched? Can it actually be used for any further work? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. Just like the vine tree among the trees of the forest that I have given to the fire as fuel, so I have given the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I have set my face against them. Out of the fire they have gone forth, but the fire itself will devour them. This is before the destruction of Jerusalem, of course. It's not yet occurred. This is prophetic. And people will have to know that I am Jehovah when I direct my face against them. And I will make the land a desolate waste for the reason that they have acted unfaithfully, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. And of course he does, but it's still a few years away. Since we've seen from the first chapter of Ezekiel, it was 6 years away at that point, based on it having been the fifth year of the exile at that point. And it was about 10 or 11 years after the exile when Jerusalem was destroyed. So, I mean, without being exact, or too precise in our consideration of that right at this moment. All right, history. We'll go back to find our final reading for today, which is Revelation, is chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing upon the four corners, John writes this, of the earth, holding tight the four winds of the earth. John sees this vision in heaven, that no wind might blow upon the earth or upon the sea or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the sun, rising, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until after we have sealed the slaves of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed out of every tribe of the sons of Israel. Out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. Out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000, out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000, out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000, sealed. After these things I saw, and look, a great crowd, which no man was able to number, out of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes. And there were palm branches in their hands. And they keep on crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation we owe to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell upon their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, amen, the blessing and the glory and the wisdom and the thanksgiving and the honor and the power and the strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And in response, one of the elders said to me, these who are dressed in the white robes, who are they and where did they come from? So right away I said to him, my Lord, you are the one that knows. And he said to me, these are the ones that come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That is why they are before the throne of God, and they are rendering him sacred service day and night in his temple. And the one seated on the throne will spread his tent over them. They will hunger no more, nor thirst any more, neither will the sun beat down upon them, nor any scorching heat, because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and will guide them to fountains of waters of life. And God will wipe out every tear from their eyes. That concludes chapter 7 of Revelation and concludes our Bible reading for today. We still have 6 minutes. It's a very short reading. Today, at least from Ezekiel and Revelation, both of those, was considerably shorter than normal. What else now? I was going to talk about the article yesterday. Oh, yeah, but there's, yeah, we were going to say, who was it? Let me see if I can do this. What's it called? What did I call it? Let me see. Yeah, right. Okay. Let's see if I can remember something here. Let's see if we got that. Oh, that's it there. Found it. Okay, so let's bring this one. Yeah, it doesn't want to listen there to me. I need to find my app. Okay. Now I can bring it. And I can just drop it anywhere, really, but there it is, somewhere there. Okay. It's in the Phoenix article, I believe. So, in the article Phoenix, which is one of our earlier articles, which we haven't studied yet together, we find that there's this, the year 1255, the Common Era, is the time when the era began, which we call the Era of the Masters. That's the name that came about, for lack of a better name. And it was, let's see what else we can find. If it occurs 7 times, we should be able to find some more occurrences of it. Right. Whoa. Dante was born roughly around 1255 CE. That's one person who was born around that time. Right. So it's possible that we have other people and someone else, perhaps more significant than the person who's already been identified. Albert I is the person right there who was a forefather of the Habsburg family, very near to the time of the beginning of the Habsburg dynasty in 1452 BCE. And he was born in 1255. So, you know, he was, I think, well, we'll have to look him up and find out more about him. I'm just going to find out if it's mentioned more in here, in this article. Let's see, Albert the First. Okay, so now I know what to search for. So, let me bring that back over here and look for, let's go back. Here we go. So we'll look for Albert the First. That's right. Albert the First. I don't know if it's not going to come up necessarily. Albert the First. Okay, we'll look for, in quotations, how much time do we have? Well, we're running out of time very quickly. Okay. Albert the First. Right. Right. Oh, it's in the article, Joseph. He was the founder of the House of Habsburg. Yeah. He's the founder of the House of Habsburg. So, Albert interestingly he's the great grandfather, it says here. Oh, the great great grandfather of Frederick III, and he was born in 1255 CE. Frederick III ruled from 1452 CE as the Holy Roman Empire, the first one of the House of Habsburg, and Albert I was the founder of the House of Habsburg. Fascinating truth there. So that's where that came from. We are very close to the end, so we'll be summing up any minute now. There he is. He's the founder of the House of Habsburgs. And it was in 1255 CE, 2268 years after 1014 BCE, when Albert I was born. So it's again another example of the 2268 number, which comes up, and it's a remarkable number. What happened to my position of my head here? It's moved. So that's the end of our study. Before we go too long here, his name occurs 36 times in this article, Joseph. So that's where it's mentioned, but that's because there are other people named Albert. I had an uncle. A great uncle. He wasn't one of my uncles. He was a great uncle. Who was he here? He's a great uncle of me. That's right. And so he's another Albert. Okay, that's all for our study for today. It is January 7th, 2024 of the Common Era. The new year again, still, of course, just beginning. The time is 2044 hours. Remarkable, that's the birth date of Jacob in the BCE years. Incredible. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you so very much. On my behalf, this is Gully. And this is Cassie saying bye for now.